Tchelet, in other words, is a reflection and a reminder of God choosing to open his existence to us, to dwell amongst us. To see blue is to see reminders of heaven, reminders of God's throne, and also to feel God's love in our own midst. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 16, Feeling Blue and Feeling God. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
William Gladstone had a problem. The man who would eventually become Prime Minister of England was earlier in life struck by an apolitical issue, one which joined classics and aesthetics. He had read the entire Iliad and the Odyssey in the original Greek, and he had discovered that while there are aspects of ancient epic poetry that are somewhat similar to our own, the focus on color is entirely different. As one good summary in Business Insider puts it, Gladstone, quote, noticed that this wasn't the only strange color description. Though the poet spends page after page describing the intricate details of clothing, armor, weaponry, facial features, animals, and more, his references to color are strange. Iron and sheep are violet. Honey is green. So, the article continues, Gladstone decided to count the color references in the book. And while black is mentioned almost 200 times, and white around 100, other colors are rare. Red is mentioned fewer than 15 times, and yellow and green fewer than 10. Gladstone started looking at other ancient Greek texts and noticed the same thing. There was never anything described as blue. The word didn't even exist. End quote. What are we to make of this? Why is there no mention of blue in the Iliad? And why are there so few references to color in general? Of course, as many note in this context, Homer was himself blind, but he was utilizing languages and images that were common. And of course, he makes all sorts of other references involving sight. Gladstone decided that the Greeks of the ancient world were colorblind, or as he put it, quote, the organ of color and its impressions were but partially developed among the Greeks of the heroic age, end quote. This was Gladstone's opinion, but this is not today, as far as I know, the general consensus. At the same time, Gladstone's question has inspired some very interesting areas of research. For example, the controversial case put forward by the Israeli linguist Guy Deutscher, whose most well-known work, I believe, is Through the Looking Glass, Why the World Looks Different in Other Languages. Deutscher, as I understand it, essentially takes Gladstone's argument and turns it on its head. He argues that some languages have words for the color blue and some do not. But for Deutscher, this is not linked to an inability to discern color. Rather, Deutscher argues that the opposite is the case. It's not that language reflects what we see and do not see. Instead, our language impacts how and what we see. How one experiences the world is impacted by one's language. Deutscher wrote as follows, quote, recently, it has been demonstrated in a series of ingenious experiments that we even perceive colors through the lens of our mother tongue. There are radical variations in the way languages carve up the spectrum of visible light. For example, green and blue are distinct colors in English, but are considered shades of the same color in many languages. And it turns out that the colors that our language routinely obliges us to treat as distinct can refine our purely visual sensitivity to certain color differences in reality, so that our brains are trained to exaggerate the distance between shades of color if these have different names in our language. As strange as it may sound, our experience of a Chagall painting actually depends to some extent on whether our language has a word for blue, end quote. Now, linguistics, ladies and gentlemen, is not in any way my field, and I know enough to explicitly state that Deutscher's thesis has been challenged. But either way, this discussion inspires us to ponder how we see blue in our lives. And this question is particularly interesting when we analyze the mitzvah known as tzitzit, or fringes. The Torah obligates, in at least many situations, the wearer of a four-cornered garment to have special fringes already attached, tied on to them. And there is a color scheme to these tzitzit. Thus, we are told in Numbers chapter 15 that along with the placing of original fringes, v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet, added to the original fringes shall be cords of blue. How many cords of blue, how many strings of the tzitzit are meant to be blue, is debated amongst authorities. And it is not obvious from the Talmud itself what the ratio actually is. All we know from the Talmud is that the strings tend to be described in two ways. There are those that are lavan, or white, and then there are those that are techelet, wool that has been made blue utilizing a special dye. Following the description of tzitzit, the Torah announces the purpose of the commandment. Uritem oto uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, vasitem otam. And you shall see it, and you shall remember all the mitzvot, all the commandments of God, and you shall do them. Some read the it that is seen as all of the strings, but according to Maimonides, it is the blue strings that are being referenced. Why is Tehillat? Why is the blue string a reminder of the commandments of God? It is a Remeir cited in the Talmud who tells us his interpretation, and it is founded entirely on its color. Manishtana Tehillat mikol minei tzivonim, he writes. Why is Tehillat blue wool different from all other colors? Mipnei she'Tehillat dome layam, because the blue of the Tehillat, the blue wool, is akin to the sea. V'yam dome l'rakia, and the sea is like unto the color of heaven. V'rakia l'kisei ha'kavod, and heaven is a reminder of God's throne, which is described in Exodus, seen in a vision at Sinai as k'maaseh livnat ha'sapir, made out of sapphire stone. And so the blue wool is meant to remind us of God by teaching us to see blue everywhere, the sea, the sky, and ultimately the royal seat of the Almighty himself. Rabbi Meir's statement is striking, and initially it is difficult to understand, because if the blue string is meant to remind us of God's throne of sapphire, why not just say that? Why go out of your way to tell us that it is the color of the sea, which is the color of the sky, which is the color of God's throne? This question clearly bothered the Talmudic commentator known as Rashi, who suggests that in pondering the sea, we will be reminded of the great miracle that happened as Israel left Egypt and the sea was split. And this will ultimately lead us to ponder God himself, God's throne in heaven above. But I would suggest another possible answer by emphasizing that the color of God's throne is also the color of the sea and the sky. The Torah is emphasizing that we should see reminders of God everywhere. As we have argued in the past, God reflects his royalty, his majesty, through his compassion for us, through his closeness to us. Pondering the Hebrew word for kingship, including God's kingship, Malchut, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik wrote, quote, kingship in general historical terms precipitates the separation of the king from his people, his existential exclusiveness, end quote. But in Judaism, Rabbi Soloveitchik further writes, quote, the king opens himself up to everyone and embraces the entire nation without excluding anybody, end quote. This perhaps is the meaning of the Talmudic dictum. By seeing blue everywhere, we are meant to be reminded not only of God aloft on his throne, but also that his radiant glory ought to be discerned here on earth as well. Tehillat, in other words, is a reflection and a reminder of God choosing to open his existence to us, to dwell amongst us. To see blue is to see reminders of heaven, reminders of God's throne, and also to feel God's love in our own midst. Why blue is so important for Chagall is beyond my own realm of expertise. But Chagall did once write the following, quote, in our life there is a single color, as on an artist's palette, which provides the meaning of life and art. It is the color of love, end quote. If this painter, so well known for using blue in his art, is right, then Jews can say that actually feeling blue has never for us been synonymous with sadness. On the contrary, it is meant to be a reminder of the fact that Jews see in the blue of Tehillat a reminder of joy, hope, and faith, a reminder of God's presence in our lives. And you shall see it, and you shall remember all the commandments of God. The blue strings of the tzitzit inspire us to see the radiance of the Almighty's throne reflected in our own lives, to feel his love, and to reflect that love in our relationship with others. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.